Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. And by his stripes, his wounds, we are healed. Fellow redeemed, on that first Good Friday, Jesus Christ suffered and died for the sins of all the world, mine and yours and everyone's. Hanging on the cross, he cried out loudly, "It is finished." And the Greek word used for that affirmation, tetelestai, was actually used in the first century to mark a transaction or a debt as paid in full. Jesus did everything. He left nothing undone and nothing unpaid. So we may wonder, why then, after the crucifixion and after Easter, did he not remove the marks of the cross? Why did he not remove the nail prints from his wrists and feet and the spear thrust from his side? Could he have done so? Yes, but he didn't. In fact, according to the Bible, on that first week after Easter, when Jesus appeared to his disciples again, he actually pointed to his wounds. And he said to Thomas, "Thomas, reach out your finger and see my hands. And reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't doubt. Stop doubting, but believe." And Thomas, witnessing those wounds of Jesus in the living Savior, said, no doubt on bended knee, "Oh, my Lord and my God." What did Jesus want Thomas and the disciples to see in those wounds? What does he want us to see? Well, first, the wounds of Christ were proof of his true identity. And here is an irony. Because in many autopsies, forensic science, scars and wounds are used to identify a dead body. In the case of Christ, his wounds identified him as the Savior, yes, who died, but was alive again. He was not a ghostly apparition. He was not a grief-induced hallucination. According to those wounds, those identifiers, he was the same Jesus who died on the cross and was buried, and the third day rose from the dead, and by rising conquered death and brought life and immortality to light. Jesus himself pointed to those wounds as personal identifiers. In Luke 24, he said to his disciples, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Handle me, see. A spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." In essence, Jesus was telling his disciples, "Look, it's me, the same Savior who died for you on the cross. I haven't changed." And personally, I can't think of anything more comforting than an unchanging living Savior in this volatile, changeable world, a world where things change, like health becomes sickness and wealth becomes poverty and dreams become nightmares. An unchanging Savior. But the fact is that when we go through changes, we often think, well, maybe God has changed, right? Maybe God doesn't love me like he used to. Maybe God's attitude toward me has changed and is different. Is that true? Of course not. Each time you're tempted to think that God has changed the way that he feels about you, remember the wounds in the hands and the feet and the side of Jesus Christ. Wounds that guarantee God will never change the way he cares for you or forgives you or provides for you. My Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I can promise you this. I promise you this because the Bible promises this, that whatever difficulties you may be facing today, whatever heartache or loss, the Lord Jesus is standing right beside you and saying, "Look at my wounds. Look at my wounds. Don't worry about a thing." Second, Christ's wounds are proof of God's compassion for lost humanity. And there's an irony here, too. After the events of Good Friday, I can imagine how many disciples, driven by grief, may have looked at Christ's wounds as being the proof of his lack of compassion. Maybe they thought something like, Jesus, why did you do this? Remember that day in Caesarea Philippi when Peter said, no, Lord, this will never happen to you? You should have listened to him. Instead, you went and got yourself killed. Did you ever think about what would happen to us? Did the disciples really think that way? The Bible doesn't say. And yet, this much I know, that accusing God of lacking compassion is very common when we're going through a hard time. God, you must not care about me, otherwise this would not be happening to me, this cancer, this depression, this foreclosure. But nothing could be farther from the truth. God cares for us in ways we can't even imagine. What do the Psalms say? That his mercy endures, how long was it again? Oh yeah, forever. His mercy endures forever. Or Lamentations 3, his compassions never failed. When you and I are tempted to think that God doesn't care about us, we should remember those wounds in the hands and feet and side of our Lord Jesus Christ, because his wounds tell a different story. His wounds say, no one could love you like I do. Third, Christ's wounds are the proof of his personal involvement in our daily lives. Several years ago, when I was not in the ministry, I did a marketing presentation for the corporate director of Insight Communications in New York City. When I was finished, he asked me one question. He said, so, how much skin are you willing to put into this relationship? And I said, huh? I hadn't heard that before. How much skin are you willing to put into this relationship? And what he meant was, how much of myself was I willing to invest to earn his trust? I have never forgotten that expression, how much skin. It may be a strange thing to associate with business, but not really with salvation. How much skin did Jesus Christ put into our salvation, into restoring a personal relationship with Almighty God? When Jesus died on the cross, he gave us his everything. And here lies yet a third irony. How can it be that you and I can sing such hymns as this? Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Rich wounds, yet visible above, in beauty glorified. How can we sing those words and see those wounds and think that he's not involved in our lives? From time to time, all of us may feel that God is distant or remote or detached or uninvolved. But when we do, we need to hear Jesus say to us the same thing that he said to Thomas. Reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And finally, Christ's wounds are the proof of a perfectly complete salvation. Isaiah wrote those beautiful words, and by his wounds we are healed. Surely there is no greater healing than in knowing that all of our sins, sins of thought, word, and deed, sins of commission and omission, things that we've done and have not done, that all of those sins were completely paid for through the grievous wounds and the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. I can promise that the time will come when each one of us feels the crushing weight of our guilt and sin, when we'll feel just like that publican in the parable who could not lift his eyes heavenward, but instead struck himself and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When that happens, remember the wounds in the hands and feet and side of the Lord Jesus. For those wounds are the proof of your perfectly complete salvation. And in those words, in those wounds, you will find healing. Amen. Our closing hymn is 144, and we will sing stanzas 1 and 4, 144, verse 1 and 4.